Professor Emeritus at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Wayne McKay, believes several outcomes are possible over tension with the province and Mi'kmaq communities. McKay says there are some uncertainties on both sides of the argument, with Nova Scotia chiefs pressing for a moratorium on cannabis raids, so it could be decided in a higher court.
There's one provincial court case in Nova Scotia. I think it was Judge Vanderhook at the provincial court level who had a claim that raised this issue, and she dismissed it, but she made a very significant point of saying she only dismissed it because there was no factual foundation presented to her to support the claim, and in fact went out of her way to say that if another case were to come along with a factual foundation, she would certainly be more than willing to consider that and make a ruling on it. So that's, to my knowledge, the only directly applicable case in Nova Scotia, and Premier Houston is relying heavily on that to sort of say, well, it's been decided in Nova Scotia, but I don't agree with that. It's been dealt with in Nova Scotia in this one application to dismiss it, and the government did win that one, but the issue was never really put at trial. It was just an application, and it was strictly on the basis that the evidence base had not been presented, not that one was impossible. So I think that's where it sits in Nova Scotia, and the higher courts, which is where that issue will eventually have to go, have not dealt with it at all. I don't think it's even reached an appeal court level, and definitely not the Supreme Court.
Meanwhile, Member 2 First Nation recently passed a resolution with Chief Terry Paul saying the province and the RCMP have no right to carry out enforcement on its lands. McKay says it is a credible argument that could also be decided in court.
I think that's a claim that can credibly be made, in that it's important that the Indigenous rights, or the Mi'kmaq rights in this case, as part of the Constitution, are recognized and affirmed. They're not granted by the Constitution, but they're recognized as pre-existing rights. So in that sense, what he's saying, he's really simply asserting that, to say we have never ceded our territory, we're not a conquered people, and we continue to assert our right to self-governments in the ways we traditionally have. And that continues even if it hasn't yet been decided or further confirmed by the courts. So I assume that's really what he's saying. And that is an argument, again, that I think is a credible one that no doubt will at some point be decided in the courts, but has not yet at this point. And that's really the kind of interesting legal dilemma about this whole cannabis crackdown and the asking them to cease and desist, is really in this time when it's not been clearly decided by the courts which claim to jurisdiction should prevail. Should it be the asserted self-government and treaty rights of the Mi'kmaq, or should it be the more traditional rights under the Constitution Act 1867 for the police to enforce provincial laws of general application, which would include the Cannabis Control Act? So that's really, those really are the two colliding jurisdictions, and what should prevail right now until the courts weigh in on the situation.
McKay says it is difficult to predict where the issue is headed or what's coming for a result or solution. However, he says there are some possibilities.
Well, first of all, it's certainly possible and has happened in many other provinces that the government and the Mi'kmaq could make a deal as to how to handle this. And that in many other provinces, I can't name their specific ones, but a number of them, that's what they've done on the cannabis issue. And one of the reasons that it really hasn't been decided in court yet is a deal has been worked out where they share a certain amount of control over how cannabis is handled, and certainly the majority of the benefits of that would go to the relevant First Nations. So that's one possible situation, that it will help press them to make an agreement. So that's one. I suppose the second scenario is that the government continues to assert their rights to enforce the laws, using their arguments that there's safety issues. don't, but they may, whether that's true is debated. They argue there are, and the Mi'kmaq say there aren't any such issues, really. It's not a health threat in any way. But they would, on that basis, proceed. That runs the risk of further antagonizing the Mi'kmaq people and making relations even worse and jeopardizing reconciliation, all those kind of things. That would be, in my opinion, not a good result. And I suppose a third would be that the government decides to let the issue sit for a while and not concede necessarily or anything like that, but simply indicate that we're not going to be enforcing it at this point, which has, of course, been more or less what's been happening for quite some time. So it's I suppose, a kind of a third option that might occur.
Earlier this month, there was some roadblocks in First Nation communities, including Botlydek in Richmond County. RCMP vehicles were damaged, and some officers had to depart on foot as an angry group expressed their frustration. But band counselor Isaiah Bernard says the community does not want tension with the police, and the people who did the damage are being dealt with.
And I believe those people who smashed vehicles were arrested, and furthermore, We condemn those actions of those individuals. They're not even from here, and they're going to be banned from this community as well. After it happened, we got a lot of the public support, public support to get rid of them. It's not our way to be disrespectful.
Bernard says many of the officers have a familiar face outside of the roadblock,
and it's unfortunate because our RCMP officers who were there. They live in this county. We have to see them every day, and we don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to, like, we see them when we go grocery shopping. We see them when we're out with our families. And I have a lot of family and friends who are in the RCMP and did, and a lot of them are conflicted by this, and a lot of them they stand with us, but unfortunately they're higher ups. They're being forced to act this way towards us, and then they don't want to be they didn't want to be there. The officers who were there the other day did not want to be there, but they were, unfortunately they were.
However, he says the community continues to stress that the province has no jurisdiction on their land.
It's not just about the cannabis. It's about the Mi'kmaq's right to sovereignty. We are a sovereign nation, and the province can't go and tell us what we can and can't do in our communities. This is First Nations land. This is Mi'kmaq land. This is not Nova Scotia land. This is we were here before the dawn of time, and we will be here after. And like we have the right to self-govern, and for the province to try to dictate what we can and can't do in our community is horrendous. It's pathetic.
Bernard says, however, he regrets that a working relationship with the province has turned sour.
All of a sudden, they got that supermajority, and then they. Kind of their attitude shifted, changed towards us, and they became more hostile out of nowhere. And like just, we were doing good, we were working together. We officially announced Mi'kmaq as the official language in Nova Scotia, and then all of a sudden, this act that they passed back in, I want to say February, maybe January, and then since if you look at over the last 6 years since cannabis was legalized. It was the cops never came around here. They never cared to like make to do any raids. I would speak to officers and they said it's not an issue because they saw it as legal. But however, due to this pressure from the provincial government, their hands are being forced to do these raids and they're unlawful, and the government is putting our RCMP officers and our people at risk here by. Trying to pit us against each other.
Bernard says he has received what he calls hate mail or unpleasant comments from people posting anonymously online.
For instance, and I've been trying to educate them, and unfortunately they don't want to be educated, so they just end up hurling racial they start getting racist towards them when they can't for me it's like it's hard to get me going, and it's like water down a duck's back. So like I had one individual trying his best to get me going, and I just kind of started having fun with it. I was like, no, if you're gonna be like a racist jerk, I'm just gonna not let you have your moment you want.
RCMP, with the help of the First Nation, recovered 7 police vehicles after the roadblocks on Highway 4 earlier this month. For the Local Journalism Initiative, Bill McCush, Coast Radio News.